In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby.
18 minutes after 5 o'clock. Time to talk movies and more. Alan Adams in studio with us. And gosh, fellas, it just feels so right.
Yeah, it feels like, it feels like 2019 in here all
right,
of a sudden.
Right, exactly.
It's fantastic. No, I was listening driving in, and I heard Bruce, and I'm like, oh, great, Bruce is there tonight. And it hadn't even occurred to me. I knew Carrie was coming back, but it didn't even occur, and I heard his voice, and I'm like, oh, and I literally yipped in my car, because I was so excited that the gang was getting back together.
Well, it's been awesome for me, because now I'm just sitting here talking. I don't have to do anything.
Right, you're not looking at any screens, you're not pushing any buttons.
Carrie does all the hard work, which I knew, but you know, after however many months, I'd sort of forgotten how easy I had it, how good I had it. All, you know what they say, you never know what you got till it's gone.
Yeah, and paradise and parking lots and whatnot.
Yes.
Don't miss your water till the well runs dry.
How was your weekend, Mr. Adams?
It was good. I spent a large chunk of Saturday on my own. One of Sheridan's best friends from college, her son graduated from high school and had a graduation party, and so she drove down. I was initially going to go, but I had some other things that needed to happen, so I stayed home. Yes, we did deliver 14 party-sized bags of ketchup chips.
Whoa!
Because
nice.
That was what the kid wanted for a graduation gift. They're in Rhode Island, again, just so we're clear, Humpty Dumpty.
Well, yes,
ketchup chips.
Is there any other?
We were very specific, and you know, it's surprising how difficult it is to find ketchup chips.
Yeah.
For those who are interested in that sort of thing, the IGA up in Orono.
Ooh.
Yeah, took care of us. We basically cleaned out the shelves, and it was like, and you know, at one point I turned to Sheridan, and I'm like, you think 14's enough? As it turned out, yes, it was. We sent a picture to Sheridan's friend, and she was like, dear Lord, no, you're fine. Yes, that's fine.
That should be enough. Yes. That's wonderful. And I know you were doing some improv yesterday. Abby and I did split duties. I went to see Little Shop of Horrors in the afternoon. She went to see you and the gang doing Ready, Set, Go last night and said it was awesome.
Yeah, we had a great time. Ready, Set, Go. I've always loved the idea of, of sort of improvising based on a set. And so this is the third year that they've been doing Ready, Set, Go. It was myself, Jen Shepard, Lawrence Fingerhut, and Shelby and Joe Burton. We got up there and we did a whole thing about a town where there's flowers and some sort of book, and things got off the rails pretty quickly, as they are wont to do. Thanks to the long hours spent by Rob Laraway and the Mr. Burns team, I actually was up there and felt comfortable with the singing part of things, which is something that I don't necessarily always. So that was really nice. No, you guys were talking about Little Shop. Sheridan and I went opening night. Man, it's a heck of a production.
Oh,
and,
yeah, absolutely.
I did get a chance last night before Ready, Set, Go, because as some people may or may not know, I was the puppeteer the last time Penobscot Theater Company
That's right. I had forgotten that.
Thomas Demers, who is this production's puppeteer, was gracious enough to sort of walk me through, because they are different. You know what I mean?
This baby's huge.
It's so big.
And Jonathan was showing me, boy, the incredible level of control. You can almost go 360 degrees with that thing.
Well, and particularly the third Audrey, so the one that's like person sized but not gigantic, that was the one that was the most difficult for me, because it was basically like you put the thing on, you sat in a rolly chair, they put like vines on your legs so you could like wave them around a little bit, and that was kind of it. Mm-hmm. And that was but this new one, it's like set on a platform, and it's so much more articulated, which means like it's funny how much expression you can get out of a puppet when you have that sort of like side to side movement as well as up and down, you know what I mean? So and I thought Thomas did a great job. Zachary Strang, who was the voice of Audrey 2, a wonderful team. I mean, are they Ben Lehman and myself? It's not fair. It's not fair to make comparisons. No, so I'm not going to do that. No. It was a phenomenal experience. I know you guys mentioned the technical aspect. The sort of return to PTC for Trisha Hobbs as a designer. She did a remarkable set, structured, and I'm not going to spoil it because I'll just say comes apart and comes together in a way that I was not expecting when it first happened. Yeah. We'll leave it at that, and people can wonder at it when the time comes when they see it themselves. And they've got plenty more opportunities to do it.
Right, playing through the 14th of July.
Yeah, so you got a couple more weekends to get out there and check it out. And I can't recommend it highly enough. Like, I had such a wonderful time.
Oh, people were having a ball. It was great. Yeah.
And you were saying you had a pretty full house.
I don't think there was an empty seat yesterday.
Man, for a second Sunday, that's really nice to hear. You know what I mean? Like, and I know you guys were talking a little bit about the sort of the gradual uptick in attendance. I that's not going to come as any surprise that I agree like wholeheartedly with the notion of theater as entertainment, but also as I'm not going to speak for everyone, but I think the people in this area are smart enough.
I do too.
To deal with challenging work. You know, I do, and I think Jonathan believes that as well, and so I'm looking forward to seeing how things progress in this next season. Looks like a lot of fun, and in the years to come. So it's. He's really trying hard to strike the balance. Yeah. And I think that's it's a noble effort. It's a worthwhile effort. And it's, to my mind, what this theater company should be.
No question about it. They're looking forward to season 51 already.
There was one other thing that I wanted to share real quick with folks. I don't know how familiar any of you all are with Port Fringe. The Fringe Theater Festival in Portland, Maine. Their kickoff is tomorrow night, this coming Saturday at 9:30 p.m. at the new tasting room for Freedom's Edge Cider, I will be presenting an original work, a one man performance piece called Illuminati or Illuminice: A Secret History of Santa Claus, that actually was the primary reason why I did not go to Rhode Island this weekend, because turns out, if you want to create your own thing, like, you got to write it.
Oh, yeah.
And all that stuff. It was not finished. And so I told Sheridan, I was like, I need to finish this. She, being the wonderful and understanding person that she is, was like, great. I had the day on Saturday. I was able to finish out what I needed to finish out. Now it's just a question of putting together the PowerPoint presentation and getting ready to load her up and send her on her way. It's going to be about an hour long.
Right? Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it's part of the Port Fringe late night series. Traditionally, what Port Fringe has done is they do a series of shorter shows, I think capped at half an hour, and they pair two shows together, and they perform several times over the course of the week. They've added what they call Fringe late night. And that is, they selected four shows from their however many entries, and basically give them sort of, they're the only thing going late at night. So Wednesday through Saturday, 9:30 p.m., there are these late night shows. And so I will be going on Saturday. It was great. I actually, full disclosure, did not make the initial cut. I was chosen as the first alternate. They had someone drop out.
And then you killed the dude.
And then I would prefer not to discuss that aspect of things. It's going to be extremely weird and very dumb.
Can you give us an overview?
Well, it's basically a look at how Santa our perception of Santa came to be, and the sorts of secrets that may that sort of went into Santa becoming the cultural figure that he is, as well as a full scientific breakdown of how Santa does what he does.
Oh,
yeah, I'm embarrassed to say how much research I've done to put this thing together.
So, do you play the role of researcher or multiple roles?
So the deal is,
without giving away too much.
Yeah, no, I've been participating in the annual Port Fringe pop-up fundraiser for a number of years. And in the course of doing that, I've done it, I think, six times altogether. But in the course of doing that, I've sort of found myself developing this character. His name is Alan Adams, which makes it easy to remember.
Sure, that's good.
Basically, the gist is it's someone who digs into works of classic literature and basically pulls out the red thread and pushpins and starts making connections that one could argue probably aren't actually there. Tying the Scottish play to the line of Merovingian kings, bringing Alice in Wonderland to Atlantis, that sort of thing.
Nice.
Dante is the lost, long lost twin brother of Jacques de Molay, the last leader of the Knights Templar, that sort of thing.
That sounds great.
Now, these bits are generally like 5 or 6 minutes in length. Doing something, spinning that out longer, I needed something with a little bit more meat to it. The notion basically came to me, like, I pitched them with little more than a title in mind, because I had the idea of Illuminati or Illuminice, and I'm like, well, that's a great title. Let's see what happens. And then they picked it. And now I'm like,
now I have to
do this.
Yeah.
So that'll be this Saturday, 9:30, Freedom's Edge Cider. But again, there's a whole week of phenomenal and fascinating programs happening for Port Fringe. One of the things that they've done the last couple of years that I approve of greatly, it's a model that we have sort of used at the Improv Me Festival. It's all main performers, and I think that's a good I appreciate the idea of bringing talents in from outside, but the truth is, like, we don't necessarily have a ton of stuff that celebrates main artists, mm-hmm. main creatives. And so when that opportunity presents itself, like, why not embrace it? You know, if you've got the horses, if you've got people who are willing to do the work and present quality work, why would you go outside? And so I think it's a wonderful thing. They may move on to reopening to national searches and whatnot. Good on them if they do. But for now, I think it's pretty great, and I'm really honored to be able to take part in it.
Speaking of local talent, we will talk movies eventually, but speaking of local talent, did I see you and our fellow Focus Groupian, Jason Preble, sitting like you were about to take the stage at open mic night at Queen City Cinema Club?
We did, yes. I had been talking to Josh a little bit, and he had mentioned that this was happening. They were going to do a stand-up comedy specific open mic night, and Josh and I had been talking. And I'm like, you know what, Josh? Sure. Like, I've never done it before, but it's 5 minutes. Like, what's the worst that can happen? And I talked Jason into joining me. And we went and we did it, and I gotta say, it was a lot of fun.
How did it go?
Like, I was okay. Like, I was okay. It's funny because I had this whole idea of what I was gonna do, and then as soon as I stepped on the stage, I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna do something different.
Oh,
surprising myself, surprising Sheridan, who I had already run a lot of this stuff by. It was fun. It was fairly well received.
How'd Jason do?
Preble kind of crushed it.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I mean, he was clearly...
I'm not surprised.
No, but I mean, he's just like, it's one of those things where, like, I know he has a tendency to get in his own head a little bit.
Yes.
And so I wondered how that would work as far as, like, doing stand-up. But, like, he had some really good bits. He had a couple of lines that absolutely crushed. And, I think we're... it was... well attended and successful enough that I think Josh is going to continue doing monthly offerings. So it'll be sometime towards the tail end of July, third Wednesday, I think. Yeah, I'm going to go back and do it again. I think cool. Jason's going to go back and do it again. And yeah, if you've ever wanted to try it, sure, it's a very welcoming, very open sort of crowd. And yes, you will not. You're not going to get booed. You're not going to get tomatoes thrown at you. Like it was a very supportive environment. Nice. And I had a really good time.
Well, that's awesome. Alan Adams with us here on Downtown. Should we talk movies? Have you seen any?
I mean, we can. Like I did not get to the movie theater this weekend, but I did take the time. I'll say regrettably, to watch a film called Trigger Warning, which
yes.
is the number one film yeah. on Netflix. It is a Netflix original, an action movie starring Jessica Alba. And, it is about as good as you would expect an action movie starring Jessica Alba to be. Her name is Parker. She is... It makes me laugh just saying it. She is a special forces operative.
Of course she is.
Who we meet really given a bunch of vaguely identified, terrorist types of the business. Like we're never told where they are, but, they're all wearing, they're wearing turbans.
Oh,
so you can,
Lord.
Yeah, you can figure it out. It's the desert. There are turbans. But that's not what this is about. See, because she's on a mission with her close friend and and co-special forces guy Spider, played by Tone Bell, who is too good to be in this. She gets a phone call from back home. Turns out her dad has passed away.
Oh.
There's been a collapse in the mine in the town of Creation.
Oh man!
And it's like, oh, a mind collapse? Like, when exactly is this movie set? Oh, Rich, it gets better. Because, see, it's not a working mine. Her dad just liked being in the mine.
Oh.
He just liked spending time down there.
Think I'll go spelunking.
It's an abandoned mine that's right next to the Roadhouse restaurant. It's unclear what Maria's actually is, but her dad apparently built it as a community gathering place and named it after his mother, Parker's abuela, Maria. It's not clear. I guess it's a bar, but it's really, again, like we never really see it open, so it's difficult to say. But as leaving all that aside, it turns out perhaps her father passed under suspicious circumstances, and that brings in the Swan family, the big deal muckety mucks in the town of Creation. We've got there's two brothers. There's Jesse, who is the town sheriff, and Elvis, who is the small town tough guy thug. / maybe arms dealer? It's unclear. Their father, the patriarch of the Swan clan, is Ezekiel Swan, played by a clearly regretting every choice that led him to this place, Anthony Michael Hall.
Oh, Lord, Lord.
Yes, and then...
Is there a Bella Swan?
You would think, right?
Yeah, right.
No, a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Not even Kristen Stewart's getting anywhere near this thing. And so Parker comes back and starts to uncover some of the truths surrounding her father's demise. And, and then we start learning more about the illegal arms dealing that is somehow happening. And the mine is involved in ways that are unclear until they become ludicrously clear. I'm not going to tell you because, honestly, if I had to watch it, you have to watch it too. and that's kind of it. And you get a lot of close-ups of Jessica Alba making a tough face, and then a bunch of stunt work happening, and then her making a tough face and brandishing a knife, and there's a machete at one point.
Oh.
And it was one of those things where it's like, oh, it felt very PG until it didn't.
No.
And then it's like, oh wow, Netflix, yikes, okay. But again, the algorithm knows better than I do, I guess, because again, the number one movie. And so one could argue that many, many thousands of people at least started watching this movie. I don't know if they even got to creation, or if they gave up after watching, you know, Jessica Alba, you know, single-handedly take down an entire team of terror, you know, an entire terrorist cell, like heavy arms and jeeps and the whole deal. But look, sometimes you just sit there and you're so just baffled by what's happening that you can't really look away, and that's kind of where I was with Trigger Warning. You know, and a let's be real, a very coded title, and a very you know, and it's the sort of movie that I think makes you want it, makes you, it's the sort of movie that wants you to think it has something to say without actually saying anything. Uh-huh. And so it's a bunch of Jessica Alba, you know, punching some guys and stabbing some dudes. There's some gunfire, and away we go.
I did watch, and I don't know if you've seen it yet. I think it's on Netflix, the wonderful documentary, Remembering Gene Wilder.
Oh, I have not watched the Gene Wilder doc yet.
Fantastic.
I've heard it's great. Yeah.
A lot of Mel Brooks in it, as you'd expect.
Sure, makes sense.
But much of it is told in Gene Wilder's own voice.
Well, that was the thing I heard. Like, they had really done, like, a real deep dive on, like, archival recordings and stuff, and really tried to find a way to, like, to bring, you know, to let him kind of tell his own story. And I feel like the best documentaries are the ones where that can happen. And the truth is, like, and I don't mean this to sound sort of morbid, but it's probably easier to do that with someone who's no longer with us, because, you know, like, you can have a talking head documentary about a person who is heavily featured, but if they have any sort of, like, editorial control, like, they're like, you're not getting the full message. My immediate comparison is The Last Dance, but there are plenty of those out there where it's
or
like...
Or the Patriots/Bob Kraft documentary.
Yes, we could call that a documentary.
Yes.
Sure.
Sure. Yeah. Let's make Bill look bad.
Yeah. don't watch Trigger Warning. It'll just encourage them.
All right, there you go. Thank you, Alan. Break legs this weekend.
Hey, thanks very much. I look forward to telling you all about it.
Can't
come
wait.
Monday.
Alan Adams with us on Downtown.